B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Song, right?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I nailed it.
Oh. So you hit the post, Beatle.
Noontime on a Thursday. Woo! We're almost home, everybody.
By the way, The Unforgiven is Wyoming. Big Whiskey. The town of Big Whiskey is in Wyoming in that movie.
I haven't seen that
movie. You haven't seen Unforgiven, Beetle? I know Zoe hasn't seen it.
Yeah, what's with the...
Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, seen it.
Gene Hackman?
Great movie. Great actors.
Beetle, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me. Amazing. Fantastic movie.
What's the matter with you, Beetle?
What's the matter with you? You haven't seen it either.
I saw it. What's the matter with you? Yeah, I have.
Clint Eastwood. You haven't seen it.
I said I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Clint Eastwood.
Well, you watch Wind River, I'll watch Unforgiven.
Okay.
You will not be disappointed with Wind River.
If I am at all disappointed, it will not... there is no disappointment in Unforgiven.
Okay.
It's that good.
Mm. Good song by Metallica, too, Unforgiven.
Three times they did it. Mm. Song so nice, they made it twice.
I watched,
Unforgiven 2 and Unforgiven 3.
I watched Wind River on the plane to the Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I remember there was one scene on the plane where I headphones on, watch a movie, and I go, oh! out loud on the plane. I'm like, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
We had some guys.
Oh, might be. You know what?
Might be.
I started watching this once.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. No, this looks good. I don't know why I didn't finish
it. Oh, it's good.
You don't remember. You don't remember the guy that used to travel with us that was Gil's handler. Not handler, but spot guy, Roger.
No.
Roger.
I don't.
So it was me, Gil, Gino, Roger, and it was Capello and Dennis and, you know, Chuck and Mike at the time. We actually went out to Denver, lost to Denver. So coming back.
Hurry up with this story.
Real quick.
I got something for you.
Real quick. This is not the new Patriot plane. It was the old Delta plane. So the coaches were in the last row, front row, but we were in like rows one and two after them.
Of coach?
Yeah,
behind first class?
Yeah, so I could look diagonally and I could see Belichick working on a computer.
Got it.
And Roger's sitting in the seat next to me, two over. And he's watching George Carlin, middle of the night, the whole plane's sleeping.
George Carlin, comedy special.
And all you can hear is, and I literally rip his headset off. I go, are you insane? I just go, are you insane? They lost. Like the plane, you don't talk on the plane when they lose. So then he put it back on. Okay,
and this donkey radio spotter.
Then Bears gets up and looks around. And says, tell him, pipe down. He goes, okay, so he turned down. Does it again about 10 minutes later. Then Belichick gets up.
No.
Yeah. Then he had to wait at the end of the...
Did he have something to say?
Well, the security, head of security and team ops and what do you call it, quality control guy was waiting for him at the bottom of the stairway when we exited. They have a little talk with him. Capella, yeah, Capella about it. Humdinger of a ride home. He laughed the whole way and didn't care who heard.
Oh, so he's not working here anymore, huh?
He's not here anymore.
Oh, yeah, okay. Surprise.
We made some changes after that.
Jesus.
What movie was he watching?
He was watching like George Carlin. You could pull up George Carlin
like
half
stand up.
Yeah, stand up. Like, we could pull up anything on those old Delta flights.
My God.
What an idiot.
It's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Are you freaking kidding me? The coach is looking right at you, man. It's 4 in the morning, and he's this is like 4:30 in the morning, halfway across the country.
That's so bad.
Oh, man.
That's not good.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I digress.
Corey Pesatoro's on the line.
Nice.
Our accordion master.
What's he going to play for us?
World champion accordionist.
You know, over this, I would say, summer months, we had a couple of segments in there where we had people call and play some instruments.
Yeah.
Well, we told Corey to go learn a few songs. I honestly can't remember which songs we told you to go learn.
I don't even remember.
Well, you know, that's better, because then you can try to figure out what they are. okay, there was three specifically you had said, and I was on a trip, and then forgot, so I finally got a chance to call you back, guys, back. So here we go. Let's see if you can get these ones.
Aerosmith.
Loving an elevator.
Excellent.
So that's an accordion,
huh? Loving an elevator.
On an accordion.
Yeah, that's an accordion.
All right, yep. That's one.
All right, so let's see. I like this one.
It's not the Masters.
It is the Masters.
Yes, it is.
It's Masters theme.
I thought it was like pretty paper, pretty ribbons.
It is 100% the Masters theme song.
The what?
Masters theme song.
Yes. I always say that's not the best. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was like
excellent
George Strait love song or something.
Well, it's kind of that, actually, in a way. This one, there's a couple of. This will be fun. All right. Let's see. There's a lot of changes on this one. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. All right, where's the 13?
Wedding song.
It's NFL Films.
I don't know what it is. He's playing the hell out of it.
NFL Films.
No, that's the This Week in Baseball that Hardy wanted.
Oh, my God.
I wanted This Week in Baseball?
Yep, you did.
What the hell would you want that for?
That's what you said. Those are the three tunes you wanted.
Okay.
Twib.
Wow.
All right, here's what we need to do, Corey. Can you record those and send those to us?
Yeah, I can record them nice and with the get it all nice.
Especially that Loving an Elevator one. That's a great sounder we could use for sure. You got to send those our way.
Okay.
And then do Bulls on Parade when you get a minute.
Bulls on Parade.
Rage Against the Machine. It should be easy. Okay. There's already an accordionist in the band. So if you can just lift his part and then, you know, fill in the rest on your own.
Well, you know me. I like trying to do the entire thing.
I know you do.
Yes. Wow. Corey Pesatoro, world champion accordion. Is it accordionist?
Accordionist. Yes, that is the term.
Nice job, Corey.
Very good, Corey.
Thank you. No problem. That's my exit music.
He's playing himself off.
You want to fade him out, Jim?
Yeah, fade him out, Jim.
Fade him out. Yeah. And Hardy, I thank the good Lord every day that you found that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want credit for discovering him.
Hardy's the guy who discovered Corey Pesatoro.
Corey finds you.
I don't know. The narrative is Beetle and I tell it. I found him. He was already a world champion, I believe, when I found him.
He was a world champion. I've done some appearances with him.
Under me. Underutilized, underrecognized, underheralded.
Yeah.
Hardy found him and brought him to the mainstream.
We work to fix that every day.
We'll get back to the NFL stuff we talked about earlier, including the NFL moving the Steelers-Titans game from week 4 to later in the season. More on that next.
Yeah, that's an accordion.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Titans had an additional player and an additional staff member test positive. They learned of those results from yesterday's COVID-19 testing. And as a result of that, the NFL has now postponed the Titans-Steelers game until later in the season. It will not happen in week 4. The expectation had been the game could be played on Monday or Tuesday. That is now not going to happen. This game will be rescheduled later into the season. They hope to have more information soon from a league level on exactly when that will take place.
I believe that's Scott Hansen on NFL Network. Is that who that was?
Tom Pelissero.
Oh,
it sounded like Hansen.
Jeez, they have a similar sounding voice. Tom Pelissero, as many have reported, Steelers-Titans is not going to be played now in week 4. They're pushing it back after 2 more positive tests for COVID-19. This is obviously a number that's growing in Tennessee, but it goes against canceling on a Thursday as opposed to waiting until, let's say, Sunday. Sort of goes against all the backup plans that the NFL has tried to put in place to play through a pandemic, which is, when you say that, like, oh, they're just going to play sports through a pandemic, it seems sort of insane, but they're doing it. They've decided they want to be there, coaches, players. They had the opportunity to opt out. Most of them didn't, and they're continuing to play. And if you have expanded practice squads and you have plans in place to overcome the potential loss of players, I think canceling today versus waiting a few more days seems a little premature.
I do too. Does Tennessee, stupid question, does Tennessee have fans? Do they have a limited amount of fans? I thought I saw one of the colleges over the weekend. It was a Tennessee, it wasn't University of Tennessee, but it was Tennessee. They thought they had fans, but not a lot. Sporadic, but that'd be something, huh? The team that gets the COVID outbreak is the one that has the fans in it. But I don't think they did. So not that that matters, but I'm with you on this. If by Friday, there are no more spread, no more tests.
7,000 fans would have been in the stadium this week.
Okay. Did they ban that, or are they going to say they still... No, they're already...
They're not playing a game.
That's right, duh.
It's not a community outbreak. It's a team outbreak.
I know that. But I'm saying they got it. They didn't get it from Minnesota.
And well, they had it in their building.
They had it in their building before
their coach
left.
Tested positive on Saturday. Right. That's why he didn't make the trip.
Right.
Basically, one person got it from the community, and then all the other people got it from that one person is what we're led to believe, right?
That's what it seems like. But say Friday comes, and all the rapid tests are back, and you're negative. Saturday practice, Sunday practice. Now, tightened it up where you don't really have that Friday walkthrough.
Tighten up.
Yeah, but 2 hard practices, travel on Monday, you play Tuesday.
I mean, we're making the
Tuesday night football.
We're making the assumption. And by the way, I saw that if they were to have played on Tuesday, it was going to be local market broadcast only. You were only going to be able to get it in Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
I want it.
So last night they were saying it was going to be national.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the opposite.
They wanted the national crew.
5 o'clock Monday before the Monday night game on CBS National or 7 o'clock Tuesday was the 2 times.
Oh, I saw that it was going to be local only, though. So, okay,
God,
I'm sorry.
That'd be great.
I apologize for that. Well, anyway, what was I saying? Now I forget. Damn it. Oh, we are making the assumption that the coach, the linebackers coach, who first tested positive, Bowen, that he is the one that introduced it to the team.
Mm-hmm. Patient zero.
I mean, we don't even know if that's true.
The scarlet letter.
You can have multiple
him.
People get it in the same week by any number of reasons. You know, they stopped to get gas and went into a gas station. It could be anywhere.
They keep saying it to Vrabel. It's like, this is nobody's fault. This is nobody's fault. Probably looking in the room. Well, he gave it to us.
You know, someone could have had it because their kid went to school.
You don't want to be the first one to test it.
Or because their wife went to work.
I know, but you don't want to be the first one that gets it.
Or because they stopped and got a sandwich, as you said earlier, Zoe, on the way home.
Hell yeah.
So I think that you don't even know that. I mean, you assume it.
Right.
But who knows? It's hard to know.
Yeah.
It just feels like, okay, you've lost five players now. There are five players who have tested positive. They don't have another positive test between now and Sunday.
Then they blew it.
We're going to sit there and say, well, then why are they still not playing a game that would have happened 2 days from now? It's only Thursday.
Right.
You could wait three more days before deciding this.
You have flexibility to do that. You also have flexibility to move it, but I don't think you needed to move it.
And then again, it could go the other way where there's two more positive tests tomorrow, another one on Friday, and you say, okay, obviously, you know, there was no way. The other possibility is, Zoe, you brought this up earlier. It's an excellent point, and that is if they – by the way, they have these body monitors that they wear. They look like an Apple Watch, according to Zoe. If they're wearing those and they have data that people who have tested positive, players that have tested positive, we'll give the example of the long snapper who's been placed on the COVID list. If they have data pulled off of these monitors that track location and interactions, if they have data that he had close contact with 12 other players that are now testing negative, that would be reason for them to say, we have to wait this out and see if these guys had it or not. Yeah. Right? Hey, these guys spent a half an hour together in close quarters on Monday. Yeah. We have to give this a 5 to 7 days before we feel comfortable letting that guy back in.
To say, hey, Friday night, us and three other couples went out to a steak place and ate dinner. And I'm one of the ones that have it. Like, you don't know the amount of contact tracing that's going on the ground down there in Tennessee, and that could be the big problem.
Mike is in Warwick today on this very topic. Hey, Mike.
It's Mike Cash. How are you, my friend?
Mike Cash, what's up?
All right, my friend. Hey, I just thought I'd throw it out there. I know it's early talking about this Pittsburgh, Tennessee, but is this considered like a bye week? I mean, how do they go ahead rescheduling? Because both teams seem like they could be in the pursuit of a postseason, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this screws Pittsburgh. In essence, this becomes their bye week, and they're going to be forced to play 13 regular season straight games, which could kill them. And they're 3-0 coming out of the gate.
Yeah, if you're Pittsburgh right now, are you making the case to wait and try and play the game?
Yes. Yeah, I want to go down there and kick their ass. Yeah, even more so now. They have a guy or two out. Let's go down there and play.
Wouldn't Tennessee be in the same case, though? They'd have 13 straight weeks, too.
Well, they have their buys coming up. Their buys get swallowed up.
Yeah, the Steelers' buys coming up, too.
Yeah, I just want to compare these two things, though, too.
Week 7 and 8, Jim.
A week ago, last weekend, a coach on the staff of the Titans, that is, tested positive the day before a game, and they still played the game. And this week, you have the potential that someone doesn't test positive in the 3, 4, or 5 days.
Think about how lucky you are right now.
Before a potentially pushed back game. That doesn't line up, really.
Think about it. That's why that guy.
You know what I mean?
Remember that master test? I said that guy, that one verified guy on Twitter said somebody tested positive before they left and they still got on a plane and went and played the game. They knew somebody in the organization.
That didn't happen, though. There's the
coach tested positive and stayed back.
He didn't get on the plane.
But if he had contact with.
Correct. That's my point.
Yeah.
But what are
they still? But
so what would you have wanted them to do last week? Were they wrong to have played the game?
Maybe.
That's a hard case to make, out of both sides
of our ass. You know what I mean?
That's a hard case to make that they shouldn't have played the game.
I know that.
They had one positive. They isolated the individual. They move on.
This is what we said. You know, what are you going to do Super Bowl Sunday?
This is the reality of playing a season during all of this.
We're going to say, what are going to happen in the playoffs if, say, Patrick Mahomes tests positive on a Saturday, but he's asymptomatic?
It's the question we asked in the very beginning, Zoe. We said, if they're going to do this, are they ready for this? Are they truly ready for this?
They might.
Do they understand some of the challenges of this? And all we heard was, they're going to push through.
Yeah,
push through. That's not what's happening now. No, now they're the guy. They're not the band on the main stage, you know, the actual Rage Against the Machine like we would have saw at Boston Calling this year. No, now it's the guy out on the patio down at Marina Bay on a Sunday night, strumming away on his acoustic electric.
I'd be right there throwing fives at him.
That's what that is. You just went from the big stage to the boardwalk, you did.
Not bad.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
Not pushing through to the same degree anymore. Mm. That's what it is. And I just say this because this
from
is going
to
get
stage to busking in the subway.
Yeah, this is going to get better, not worse. This is not going to be the last they have of this season. And so it is interesting to see how they're going to react.
You mean this is going to get worse, not better?
Yeah, they've done incredibly. They've done remarkably well so far positive tests.
Sure have.
Or the number of
positives. Without a bubble.
Right, with no bubble.
Yeah.
So they've had a streak of really good luck so far. And this is really the first road bump in the road they've had.
Two of the top teams in the AFC have it. Look at that, 3-0, 3-0. Tennessee and Pittsburgh.
I mean, I think Pittsburgh's a better team, but this is supposed to be a big game, big matchup.
Home game for Tennessee.
Conference implications, playoff implications, all of it. It's all in there. It's all part of the mix. 617-779-0985 is another moral victory possible for the Patriots on Sunday. Also, we had a caller earlier, Rachel in Salty, who asked the question, is Cam Newton scoring too many of the Patriots' touchdowns? Let's get back to that and address that question and get your answer on that. So we'll talk to Bruce Arena at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
What kind of team, kind of prepares with like that mindset in mind? I think that's just kind of a bad strategy. You know, obviously you got to account for who they are and what they do, but at the end of the day, it's like. We can't get too caught up with, all those crazy statistics and stuff. I don't know. It's a matter of doing our job. It all comes back to fundamentals and, this is who we got this week and we're going to lock in and try to do the best we can.
Chase Winovich with us earlier in the show today. Patriots linebacker taking a very Patriot-like approach to this weekend's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just the team that's on the schedule, and they've got to do their job this week. That's all it is.
Wow.
For him, for Devin McCourty, for Bill Belichick. He even had a similar comment to Belichick at the start of talking about all this.
Think about that, too.
What hasn't been said about the Kansas City Chiefs already?
Very Belichickian. That's the message down there, right?
Yeah.
What do you make of this quarterback you're facing this week? Specifically, you being an edge guy and how he likes to get outside the pocket.
I mean, I don't know if much needs to be said about him. Anybody that knows or watches football knows the talent that he possesses. He's obviously a weapon.
It's rather muted.
How about the?
What needs to be said?
Before he started answering.
No, big disrespect card being played up down there this week. I could feel it.
Man.
7-point underdogs. Third time since 2002 they've had a spread that big.
So if Damian Harris plays this weekend.
Yes.
That means in your biggest game of this year, obviously, against Kansas City, N'Keal Harry, Jovan Williams, Winovich, Harris, Calhoun, a kicker, a punter, Bailey. You got a lot of guys from that draft class from 2 years ago playing. A year ago, I mean.
Last year's draft class. Yeah, that's true.
Jesus, we talked about this the other day.
Yeah, but
I just forgot, like, because I was thinking, okay, Harris might play. Oh, wow, he's from that class, too, with Winovich.
What, are you trying to pump up that draft class?
It's a good draft class.
You know, Jovan Williams got benched last weekend.
He got a lot of credit, dude, when people were talking after that game about what a good job he did. And I keep going back to
you brought it up the other day. I said he played 9 snaps.
Yeah. He had like two holding calls, and it looked like he could have had 3 more.
Yeah, so that's the best thing on Monday. So I was like, he could have been called for holding on every single play.
I let the kid loose on Kelsey this weekend. Get Duggar on him. See what happens. What are you going to do? Get beat? Great. Beat him up for a while.
I like that.
Physical. Let him loose until he does something wrong.
You know what? Everybody tries to cover him with finesse guys, right? Because he's a glorified receiver. He's the best tight end, receiving tight end in the league. So people are, we got to cover him.
What was your number one complaint about the Ravens and how they covered him?
They never touched him.
He went down. Free release every freaking play.
And he wasn't even, like, normally they'll flex Kelsey or they'll put him in motion. Just
hit this guy.
If he's ever got his hand down, boom, beat him. Put Duggar on him with Jim. Put Duggar on him. Let him hit him. See him hit the center out in Seattle?
If he can't do it, then put Phillips on him. Phillips will hit him.
Oh, Phillips will hit him.
If he can't do it, then put Burks on him.
We haven't talked about Adrian Phillips very much. Big fan of that move. The more we get to watch him play. He fits.
Quiet under the radar veteran.
Oh, he's good. Yeah. He's a good player. Big fan of him.
Hitter. You can
tell. Yeah, he's a hitter, but he's an older player, so he knows where to be.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that move very positively.
Right.
For this Patriots team.
If Duggar doesn't know what he's doing, just easy. Go get Kelsey. You shut him out. That's your job.
All right, so we've talked about moral victories and how the Patriots had one in Seattle. Can they have another one this weekend? And we call it full-blown moral victory. Hey, that felt like a win despite it was a loss. I don't think we can have that to the same degree we had it after Seattle.
I don't want to term it that way, but can you find out a lot more about your football team?
Can you come out of the game saying they're getting better?
Yeah.
I think you can.
Yep.
I'm not calling that a moral victory.
I hate doing that. We did that in Seattle, and boy, did it feel good.
You can't hand out. I just feel
they're
like
they're not 2-1. They're really 3-0.
There should be an unofficial rule. You can't hand out more than one moral victory a year.
You can't string a bunch of those together because when you do that, you become a loser. Nice job, kid. Second place here. Yeah. Trophies.
What's your record? We're 2-2 moral victories.
Oh, we're 8-8, but we really played. We should have won 3 more. Yeah, we should be 11-5.
I mean, what are you going to do, call them undefeated after the first month? Well, you know what? They had 2 wins and then 2 moral victories, so they're pretty much undefeated.
They beat Kansas. What? They pop Kansas City. They could sit there and say, wow, we were 1 yard away from being undefeated to start this year. That's amazing.
It's not a moral victory, but you said what they can learn. If they can throw and stay point for point, even if they lose, we can learn something about them.
But do you want them to throw?
No, I don't think that's the best chance to win.
I don't think it's the best way to go about it.
But we could also learn something. But if they can't run and they have to throw and they still score points, we probably learned something there.
Steve Spagnuolo is a good coordinator. That guy's no moron.
You just had a syllable to his name?
Spagnuolo.
I feel like you just call him like Spagnuolo or something.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo. Like Magnolia, Steve, but Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo. Yeah, he's a really, really good defensive coordinator. Like, so he looks at
it. Had some success against this team.
Jesus, 200 yards rushing in 2 of the first 3 games they played. We better put 8 guys at the line of scrimmage. You know what that does? It makes you throw the football. Josh has got to be ready to throw, and so does Cam. So, Honey Badger, he'll be down in the box.
All right. Very good, then.
Steve Spagnuolo is a... Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo. That's
like,
okay.
Like Magnolia. Still Magnolia.
Something new in there? I've seen that movie.
That'd make you cry. I cry every time I watch it.
I've seen that movie. I'm sure Hardy has
seen
that one.
Hardy, you see Steel Magnolia?
No, I've never seen it.
Isn't it Magnolias, plural?
Steel Magnolia.
Steve Spagnuolo is...
Steel Magnolias, plural.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, God, wait a second.
Never seen that one?
I never saw that. The one with the astronaut, Jack Nicholson. Great role.
No. That's Terms of Endearment.
Steel Magnolias is Sally Field. Sally Field, Dolly Parton.
Yeah, she's the one with the baby. Her kid died of cancer.
Yes.
That's Steel Magnolias.
No, Steel Magnolias. Who are you thinking of? Who's the woman in it that you're thinking of?
I'm not doing this right now.
Shirley MacLaine.
She's in them all. She's
in Terms of Endearment.
What was Steel Magnolias about?
I don't know. I've never seen it. A group of women share in a small town southern community how they cope with the death of one of their own.
That's Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
There's an astronaut.
What the hell's Terms of Endearment?
Terms of Endearment is Shirley MacLaine lives next door to Jack Nicholson, who's a retired astronaut. Her daughter, Deborah Winger,
dies.
Spoiler alert. But not until the very end of the movie. She moves away from Texas. First they go to Oklahoma, then they go to Nebraska.
It's the same movie.
It took two movies.
You took two movies and you morphed them. It's the same movie.
I didn't morph anything. I've never seen Steel Magnolias. I don't know.
I got to watch that now.
We'll put that on your list. Two for you today.
Steel Magnolias?
Yeah.
No, I'll watch Wind River because it looks like something that I should watch and would like.
And what am I putting on?
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. I gotta write that down and put it in the old notes. Movies Hardy tells me I must watch.
You must watch Unforgiven.
I must watch that, and we must talk to Bruce Arena next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. It's Bruce Arena joining us now. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Good, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, gentlemen. You getting a little cocky winning two in a row now down there?
Hey, you know, even a blind squirrel can catch a nut once in a while.
What, 86th minute, though? I mean, it was scoreless.
Sweating it out.
Yeah, and then the dam broke with Gustavo Bow. Nice to see him going too.
Yes. Well, I don't think the dam exactly broke, but it was good to get two goals and good to get 3 points on the road. So it was a big win for our team.
Well, Pania with two assists and also Buxa had a goal. How good was it to see those guys on the score sheet?
It was great. Those players came in and played the last 25 minutes and did a good job. So it was a good win. Hopefully we have a little momentum going into the game on Saturday.
So with Matt Turner, are you just now convinced that, and maybe you were before, but for me, I'm like, wow, he's having a really nice year last year, and he seemed to be playing well again. Now it seems like he has cemented himself as the guy. And I guess my question would be then, Bruce, how has he ascended from, one of three a short time ago, maybe a year and a half ago, where you really didn't know who was going to be the primary keeper on this team, to now the guy who is one of the best in the league?
Right. He's a talented goalkeeper. And I'll tell you, I have to give our goalkeeper coach, Kevin Hitchcock, a lot of credit. Kevin is a very experienced coach and played 11, 12 years at Chelsea, understands the position, gets along great with Matt, and Matt responds quite well to his coaching. And Matt's simply been outstanding for us this year.
Hey, so Matt Pulser suffers a concussion in the first half. What is protocol in MLS post-concussion and how you keep an eye on these guys?
It's pretty similar to other sports. They have to wait for his symptoms to disappear. Generally, players that suffer concussions don't feel well for a couple of days and have headaches, those type of things. And as soon as those symptoms calm down, you know, they'll get him on an exercise bike and move him forward, and there's some concussion tests that you take. So I think Matt is about another week away before we can think about getting him back on the field.
The secondary transfer window shuts down on October 29th. Do you expect to have any moves before then?
I really don't. The only moves we've made, obviously, since we returned from Orlando, have been the trades we've made with Lee Wynn and Tommy McNamara to Kudamane. And I don't expect us to make any more this year. You know, we'll look to the transfer window in January as we, you know, prepare for the 2021 season. But for this year, I think we're set where, you know, with our roster, and hopefully it's enough to move our team forward.
All right, so we got Nashville on Saturday, a new club. I don't know how familiar you're able to get with them. I think the only name I really know on the roster is Anibaba, in terms of a guy that we saw with the Revolution before. How familiar are you with the club, and what do you do between now and then to get ready?
Well, I'm fairly familiar with them. They were one of the two teams that were not allowed to participate in the bubble because of the coronavirus that hit their team. So they really didn't play much until August. So we've seen them play in the month of August and September. And they're a team that's got a number of MLS veterans. Dax McCarty, who played for me with the national team, was in New York and Chicago. He's a very good midfielder. Their two center backs are very good in Zimmerman and Romney, and they have a good experienced goalkeeper in Willis. So they'll be good defensively. They've only conceded, I think, 15 goals in 13 games. So that's been their strength. You know, it's obviously our strength as well. So it should be an interesting game. But, you know, our game plan is really to step on the field and get after them from the opening minutes.
Coach, I thought last week, like, the Patriots were attempting to have a minimal amount of people, families, friends, and family there. I know that didn't end up working out. How's that going on the soccer side? And do you see that happening anytime soon? Or does it sort of line up, you know, just across the board with Gillette Stadium?
Well, it is across the board. We're hopeful that over the next couple of weeks, the governor, you know, allows for fans. Eventually, it's going to happen. But, you know, I'm all for the governor and whatever he decides to do. The safety of the public is the priority, certainly. But we're hopeful as we get into the second half of October, perhaps we'll have spectators in Gillette. And you know, it would be great for the Patriots and the Revolution. So we're hopeful that could happen.
To go back to Nashville and to build off of what Hardy was just asking you about, is it refreshing just to have a new team on the schedule and not keep playing the same teams over and over again?
Yeah, it's great. And this happens to be a team we've never played in our history. So it should be interesting. You know, after Nashville, we go back to the regulars again, Toronto, who we've only played once this year. And then we go to Yankee Stadium and play New York City FC next Sunday. And then Montreal again, which I've seen enough of Montreal for the rest of my life. So, you know, it'll continue after Nashville.
All right, Bruce. Always great talking with you.
Thanks, gentlemen. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. See you, Coach.
Bruce Arena, head coach of the Revs, with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Saturday night, Nashville.
7:30.
New team, new blood, someone new to scout and look at and watch. I've had enough Montreal.
Are you doing
the
that game,
rest
right?
Of my life.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm just going to stay at Gillette Stadium this weekend.
I'm just a sleeper, huh?
Move in?
Yeah. Why don't you take your hot tub down and put it in a parking lot?
It's not a bad idea.
Get a generator, hook it up.
I think we just missed a golden opportunity to ask Bruce about his time in the playing lacrosse professionally in Montreal. I'll have to hit him up next time.
Damn it.
That one. He spent a year up there playing lacrosse professionally.
Pieces.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yep. But Jim's about to say something, and I don't know what.
They're playing until November 8th, so you got plenty more
opportunities. Yeah, I'm going to have to ask him. I'm going to have to ask him follow up on that one. I'm just thinking about that now. Anyway, thanks, Bruce. Let's get to headlines. 1 o'clock hour is on the way. It includes.
Includes?
It includes.
Who's a clue?
The NFLPA wanting to ditch turf in the NFL. Tell you about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It should be our 1 o'clock song on Thursday.
Isn't this the theme for Pardon My Take? We've been playing this song for 10 years, but every time we play it now, we get ripped.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Ripping somebody off.
Oh, we don't want to do that. Come on with something different.
We're not trying to.
Jesus.
NFLPA, Players Association. It says enough with the turf in the NFL. 15 NFL teams currently play their home games on artificial turf. And the president of the NFLPA, that would be Brown Center J.C. Treader, wants that number to go to zero. Zero. Their analysis shows that players have a 28% overall higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries on turf. Non-contact knee injuries occur at a 32% higher clip, and non-contact foot or ankle injuries are 60.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It should be our 1 o'clock song on Thursday.
Isn't this the theme for Pardon My Take? We've been playing this song for 10 years, but every time we play it now, we get ripped. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Ripping somebody off.
Oh, we don't want to do that. Come on with something different.
We're not trying to.
Jesus.
NFLPA, Players Association. It says enough with the turf in the NFL. 15 NFL teams currently play their home games on artificial turf. And the president of the NFLPA, that would be Brown Center J.C. Treader, wants that number to go to zero. Zero. Their analysis shows that players have a 28% overall higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries on turf. Non-contact knee injuries occur at a 32% higher clip, and non-contact foot or ankle injuries are 69% more likely to happen on artificial fields.
Yeah, and I know a lot of teams have shifted to the artificial fields for multi-purpose uses. For obviously Gillette, the soccer team uses it for events. It's easier for concerts. But just from an injury standpoint, even falling, or getting head. You mean to tell me that your head bouncing off a regular softer grass field wouldn't be better than AstroTurf or field turf? For me, I'd rather get hit on grass. There's nothing worse when you're sitting there and you got three guys coming at you in your face, and you get hit, and the amount of their ability to take you and just hit you and lose skin. You don't lose skin on grass fields. You look at these guys; they all got these patches up the backside of their arms or these skin tapes. It's because they're falling on and they're getting rug burns all over their arms and knees. You don't get that on grass. So I think I'd be all for it. I mean, I love playing on grass. I always love playing on grass. And the grass changes. You know, it's tough in the Northeast. You know, when the weather turns, it's always fun to go down to Miami. Like, oh, look at this grass. It's like a putting green. Arizona, you know, L.A., it's always good grass. But when you have domes, you can't do it. See, that's the problem. What are you going to do about these teams? All these new, brand new, multi-billion dollar type domes. What are you going to do with them? The LA stadium's gorgeous. It's fake. You know, I think Vegas is like Arizona. The grass is outside and they roll it in on game day. The aerial shots of that Roomba, that Vegas stadium, the Death Star,
yep.
Shows
it's like Arizona.
Yeah, it shows the tracks.
Vegas and Arizona, same thing.
It's awesome.
The field rolls in and out. That's in obviously places where you can grow grass year-round, no problem.
It doesn't work in Minnesota.
So the problem is when you get to December and January and all of a sudden your field has sort of gone to crap because you've been using it all year, or your problem is you have football teams that play in facilities that owners want to use for other things. Like, for example, the Revs play in Foxborough. They don't want to play on turf.
No.
They want to play on grass. Soccer players hate turf.
You think football players hate playing on turf? Soccer players hate it twice as much.
Agreed.
Why is that?
There are some teams with certain players who won't play on turf.
Right.
Guys who have just come over from other leagues and they've been playing on grass their whole lives. Who was it?
You do the World Cup matches. They got to bring in turf here to Gillette.
Oh, Abramovich wouldn't play. They claimed like some travel issue or something last year when he was set to play here with the Galaxy. I think all of a sudden he was a scratch. I'm like, well, how come he's not playing? Because it's turf. He's not going to play on turf. Won't do it.
You know, there's also, aside from the injuries, this is a minor thing, but they're starting to sort of figure out what the hell is in these fields. They chew up old tires to produce these fields. And you've seen in recent years, there's been more of an awareness of what chemicals are actually in these fields that people are playing on all the time. And there's that element that I don't know if they're fully considering, but it's out there. Yale did a study last year. They identified 306 chemicals in the crumbs, the little pellets that guys get in their ears, their eyes, and their mouth. They identified 306 chemicals that make up the crumb rubber on the field. 52 of the chemicals have been classified as carcinogens.
Oh.
Now something's going to get you.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, all right. Well, I think
it's not like they're drinking Roundup.
It's sort of that. I mean, here's the thing. If turf fields went to die, would anyone be upset?
No. No.
Like, oh, so you don't play on turf, but the field gets a little muddy? Here's what you need to do.
The owners.
You need to start treating, right. You need to start treating football fields like they're for football.
Yeah.
Not for everything else. Right. Not for concerts.
Oh, you don't like the
not
monster
not for soccer teams. Not for monster trucks. No, no. You're in a very lucrative business of being an NFL team owner.
NFL's king.
You need to then focus on being an NFL team owner and your facility being an NFL facility and not for monster trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my apologies to the Patriots. No more monster trucks. You know?
I don't know how they bring that much dirt in and get it out of there in 2 days and build those big things. Like, Hardy's been to monster trucks.
Okay, was monster trucks a thing before they had turf?
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Oh, no, they were doing it inside. That's right. They were doing it in arenas.
Yeah, they weren't doing that at Gillette Stadium.
No, you're right.
But now when you throw down that turf, oh, we have a multi-use facility now. Here's an idea. Why don't you just focus on, like, the $15 billion a year industry you guys have from August through January, February? Let's just focus on that.
Mm.
And allow your facilities to have grass and be focused on football.
Imagine if you planted real grass in those parking lots and you had Jurassic Fest out there instead of just a parking lot. Like sticking dinosaurs in a parking lot.
And I think you can still do things. I mean, Fenway does things during the summer while the season's going on. Other places do things on their field. It may not be the best thing for it, but you can still have other events on your natural grass field and be able to play on it a week later? I mean, seriously, would it be that big of a... Okay, maybe not monster trucks. Maybe not everything that you want to put out in there throughout the course for summer. Monster trucks is in June anyway. I mean, really, what are we talking about? Handful of times that it's going to pop up like during the season? It doesn't seem like it would be that big of a deal. But if it becomes like league-wide and the players really push back on it, is that going to make a difference? Is the NFLPA going to be like the difference maker in this?
Difference maker, like they say it, so it's going to happen?
Right.
It's no. If they could prove that the spike, you know, we look at things in data and we see a spike in injuries the way, you know, it's, and I think it's more that you haven't hit football, you know, and you're just like, start up. No training, no nothing. We can't train you the way you want, but we got game one, September 8th, whatever. I think that's more the reason why guys are getting hurt than the fields right now, honestly. But you get this many injuries and these many quality guys out, you're gonna start to complain and defend the players. I understand it.
617-779-0985. Patrick in the car. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey. I just wanted to comment on the whole turf thing. I grew up playing travel soccer, and by far the worst part of it was playing indoors. I mean, you wouldn't dare to flat tackle just because of what would happen to your legs. So I can't imagine what it's like hitting the ground for some of these guys. I'd be all for it from experience, taking away the turf, because it's almost like you're falling on pavement or concrete. It's absolutely ridiculous. But that's all I wanted to say. Thank you guys
for
the good work. You've been helping me survive through this whole COVID pandemic. So
thank you.
Patrick,
turf sucks.
Like it.
Like Hardy, where would you rather me tackle you? Like here, let's say we've had some AstroTurf here inside the building.
You can tackle me anywhere you want.
Or would you rather go over like BC High and run around the grass and see if I get you down out there?
It depends. Where you're going to bounce off and fall onto something. What do you want to fall down onto? That's what it boils down to. It's really more of a question for you than it is for me.
What'd you do?
Yeah, he just injured himself sitting in a chair. So go ahead and tackle me as much
as you want.
Just
talking about hurting Hardy is hurting you.
It hurt. Yeah.
Ruben in Fall River. Ruben.
Hey, Ruben.
How's it going, guys? Big fan of the show. I just
fan of your name.
What was that?
It's my favorite sandwich, Reuben Sandwich. Big fan of your name.
Yeah, I get it a lot, but it's actually spelled differently. Mine's spelled R-U-B-E-N.
Clever.
That's
Reuben. Yeah. Yeah, it's Portuguese. I'm Portuguese, so it's a Portuguese version of the name.
All right.
But I just wanted to touch upon, I'm a soccer player, so I play Division II, so I know what it's like. For us, we hate playing on turf. We honestly rather play on a bumpy grass field rather than playing on turf. And I know, like, for professionals, when they play on these grass fields, they're using studs that have metal on them. And when they play on turf, they're not able to use the metal studs because, obviously, if that gets caught up in turf, it'd be MCLs, ACL injuries every weekend. And just like the different feel you get on the grass with the metal studs rather than the rubber studs that you have to use on turf is a big difference. And with the rest specifically, they have that new training like facility that they just used, and these guys are playing on that grass field practicing every day and then translating that into a game. It's a different surface, so it must be tough for them. I don't know why they don't just play on the weekends on that field. We see Real Madrid do it in Spain. They play on their training facility rather than their stadium. But
They're not gonna change Gillette Stadium for the revolution.
My phone screen froze up.
Jesus.
I get it though. If there's no fans there, why not just play in the practice
field? I'm with Ruben. Why not play back there?
But play the Patriots games there too. Yeah.
Play the Patriots games on the practice field? What do you think?
Yeah, Zoe can sit on the metal bleachers and call the game.
Hell no.
Why not?
It wouldn't feel like a game. It feel like practice.
Does it feel like it? Kind of feels like practice now.
I know, but it'd be even like 10 times worse.
I mean, on TV, it doesn't. So,
one more here. Chuck in the car. Hey, Chuck.
Chuck.
Hey, so this kind of came to the forefront a few years ago with the Women's World Cup when they played up in Canada, and the women showed a lot of the rug burns and stuff from fly tackling. So, it was a big kind of to do that they had to play on artificial turf, but the Men's World Cup. Is entirely grass and is forced to be entirely grass. So just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Yeah, no, good. I'm glad we kept this soccer crowd around after Bruce Arena. I appreciate it.
Talk some cleat. It's good.
Three calls in a row on soccer. I like that. See, we talk soccer here.
That is
interrupt the guy when he's talking about pitch.
That is that pitch is the difference.
And now they all just tuned out.
The football players don't like it. Now some of them do like it. The speed guys, though, there are speed guys who probably prefer to play on turf.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
There are some of them. Soccer players across the board, no, don't like it. And B, it's a different game.
See,
it's a different game for them on turf.
Most of
you got to play it differently.
Most of the good players in the league, obviously, what, SEC guys, right, down there. That's Southeast Conference. They're all on grass down there. So those guys have played on grass for 4 years, and you come here, and it's like, that's different.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. A thought on the NBA Finals from last night. LeBron and the Lakers have taken a one-game lead in the series. I think that's going to be over quick. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.